so many changes. Rikke had to admit to feeling a bit unsteady as she shuffled from the ship to the quay. The Circle C had thrown a tantrum on the way, and she'd spent the first day or two heaving over the side. Now solid ground was making her queasy. But she kept the smile on her face. That's what being chief's all about, her father would have said, smiling while you want to puke. Durant! She ignored his hand and gave him a hug instead. Still, she waved a hand at him, trying to find the right words. Durant-ing, then? He respectfully bowed his head. I wouldn't know how to do anything else. But with more of... And she flicked at the swags of gold braid festooning his uniform. All this! It has pleased the Lord and Lady Regent to appoint me interim Lord Chamberlain. Isern was giving him an approving look over. You can be Lord of my interim whenever you please, she said. Rikke frowned at her. I thought I said good behaviour. Should it be Lord Durant, then? Not to an old friend. I'm hardly the only one advanced in the world, after all. Durand looked towards the strange and varied peoples of the north clambering from the ship to stand gawping at the vast scale, crawling activity, and choking smokiness of everything. Quite the entourage, which was, of course, the idea. Merchants of Ufrith and Carleon, dressed in their best dyed cloth and keen to talk business. Named men in feast day cloaks. Chieftains of the high valleys and the west valleys and all the valleys in between. Hillmen and hill women, too, faces blue with tattoos. Should it be Queen Rikke? By the dead, no. Black Rikke will do. She glanced at the soldiers on the quay, stiff and polished, in big dark uniforms, on big dark horses, under big dark banners. Must have been 100 of them at the least. Quite the welcome you've laid on. The Lord Regent insisted we take no chances with your safety, said Durand, leading them across to a set of spare horses. Touched, said Rikke. I never feel so safe as when I'm surrounded by heavily armed strangers. Took her a moment to mount up, as she wasn't much happier on a horse than a ship. Must confess, I was a smidge worried Leo and Savine might not be all that pleased to see me. Rikke nudged her mount close to Durand and murmured out of the corner of her mouth, I did betray them, after all, just a bit. Lady Savine has always had a cool head. She could freeze milk with a whisper, that one. And you'll find Leo's not so easily carried away as he used to be. So all's forgiven? Durand's smile didn't totally convince. They both want to look to the future. It wasn't lost on Rikke that he'd come nowhere near answering the question. The chimneys still puffed away, leaving a great grey stain across the sky. The streets still thronged with folk of every shape and size, cut and colour. That tower they called the House of the Maker still stuck up into the fog like a giant's finger. The stones still throbbed with that endless unquiet, the snore of some slumbering demon, the rumble of unhappy men and machines. But not everything was the same. They'd always liked a flag in the Union, but since her last visit they'd gone mad with them. Buildings with great banners down the front, suns painted 20 strides high on the sides of warehouses, crossed hammers of Angland, too, with Leo's golden lion. There were armed men at every gate and corner. King's Own in red, but always shadowed by dark-clothed Anglanders. Rikke saw barricades down side streets, folk queuing up to be searched, soldiers rooting through wagons, flatbowmen frowning down from roofs. Reckon there's more soldiers of Angland here than there were in the army of Angland, murmured Rikke. Shivers rubbed thoughtfully at his grey stubble.
Feels more like a city fallen to a siege than one delivered.
Don't trust to one of these bastards, whispered Isern Ifail in Northern, frowning over her shoulder at their escort. "Aye, but you hate everyone," said Ricker. Isern looked shocked to her roots.
"Lies! I am all yielding fellowship and good humour. I like shivers."
"Everyone likes me," droned the most feared man in the north, swaying in his saddle.
"And I'm fond of old hard bread. And the nail is a man I could be persuaded to hammer, do you take my meaning?"
"Despite the many layers of cunning, I believe I've dug it out," said Ricker.
"I'm taken to that girl Schaller. She surely can slice cheese fine. Like cobwebs. Just melts on your tongue. I've been thinking about all the other things she might be able to slice and coming on all a quiver at the prospect."
"High praise.
Isern stuck out her lips, clearly sorting through the rest of her acquaintance and finding no treasure.
"Hardly an army of friends, now I reckon 'em up."
Ricker cleared her throat, pointing a hopeful thumb towards herself.
"Meh."
Isern scrunched up her face like she'd taken a sup of old ale and had a fear it was off.
"On you, I remain to be convinced. You said that 2 bloody years ago. And you're shifting me in the right direction. Love easily given isn't worth a thing, do you see? Another few years, and I might like you as much as my brothers."
She twisted in her saddle to look at Scofen and Sen, gazing about at the great soot-streaked buildings in amazement.
"So you'll ignore me most of the time, and the rest treat me with open scorn?"
"That's it." And Isern clapped Ricker on the shoulder hard enough she had to clutch at her saddle to stay in it. They passed blackened scars through the city, whole streets in ruins, burned-out shells being torn down, but some carcasses still standing too, doors and windows gaping like corpse mouths, breeze whipping stinging ash from inside. There were more beggars on the streets even than there used to be, more homeless and helpless, slinking away as their great company clattered past.
"By the dead," breathed Ricker,
staring at a great set of marble steps with nothing on top but the stumps of huge pillars, workmen battering away at those with picks and chisels, a great crane towering high over the monstrous building site.
"Is this where that bank was?"
"Valent and Bulk," said Durand with a disapproving frown. That mighty temple to prophets, where the first of the Magi had met his smirking sidekick, seemed even that could be laid low.
"What are they putting in its place?" asked Ricker.
"I understand there is an urgent need for loans and investment, for new business and construction. The Lady Regent has plans to build the world's largest bank." They finally reined in outside a huge house, among other huge houses, in a part of the city where the air was cleaner and the sun shone brighter. Ricker had to admit she was a little relieved. Wouldn't have surprised her if they'd been led in state all the way to the House of Questions and straight into a cell.
"Savine's house," she said, looking up at all those windows. "Looks like every leaf in the garden got polished by hand."
"I wouldn't be surprised," said Durand. "She used to live here. Then it was an orphanage for a while, but it became too full, and the children have been moved to new lodgings. Now it's yours."
"What?"
"As long as you're in the city." He swung down easily from the saddle. "Black Ricker must have rooms fit for her station." The hall alone was big as a chieftain's audience chamber, and a lot finer furnished. 2 well-turned-out women were waiting there, one older, one younger, with a dark-skinned fellow wide as a door. They looked a bit shocked at Ricker's face, for which she hardly blamed them. She still jumped herself whenever she passed a mirror. They looked more shocked as shivers loomed up behind her, then very shocked indeed as the fur and mail-clad named men and the tattooed hill folk and some great tall woman who ran yours these days crowded into the hallway, tramping muck across the spotless tiles. The older woman gave a doubtful curtsy.
"You're, just Black Ricker will do," said Ricker. "I'm Liddy, this is May,
and this is Haroon.
An honour,
said the dark-skinned man in the deepest voice you ever heard, bowing low.
Likewise, said Rigger, bowing back.
Since half of her people couldn't even speak the language, that set everyone off bowing to everyone else. Quite the sea of bobbing heads.
The Lady Regent sent us, in case there was anything you wanted, said Liddy. There's a function planned at the Agrient tomorrow evening.
Function?
Isern bit at the unfamiliar word.
Isn't that like having a shit?
Shivers rolled the eye he still had.
It's folk drinking and dancing and lying to each other. They pretend it's for fun, but really it's for whoever's got the power to show how much power they've got.
Isern slowly narrowed her eyes.
So it is having a shit, just on everyone else.
Mostly on me, said Ricker,
and I'll be thanking them for the turds, frothing with praise over their fine colour and consistency, and asking if I couldn't get a couple more.
Ricker raised her brows at Liddy, who was looking more shocked than ever, and switched back to their tongue.
You a seamstress?
I've sewn a few seams.
You help make Lady Savine look all...
And Ricker waved her hands around, searching for the word.
Savini.
I help dress her, sometimes.
Lovely. Last time I went to the Agrient, I looked a fucking dunce.
Ricker shrugged the red cloak from her shoulders and ran that fine cloth hissing through her fingers.
Reckon we've got some work ahead of us.